This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Retirement in the USA. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Each year, the retirement and investment services company Mercer puts out rankings for retirement systems in various countries. The latest one is out, and the U.S. is not at the top. Actually, we rank somewhere in the middle, alongside France, Spain, a few other countries. Who is at the top, you ask? That would be the Netherlands. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Mercer based its rankings on three major factors: the amount of benefits future retirees are likely to receive, the solvency of retirement systems, and whether they are regulated in a way that maintains public confidence. By those standards, the Netherlands was at the top, scoring an A grade alongside Iceland, Denmark, and Israel. The U.S. got a C+. Mercer says the country can raise its rating by undertaking reforms, such as boosting the minimum pension for low-income retirees and limiting access to savings prior to retirement. Mercer suggests countries encourage people to work a little longer to account for longer life expectancies and to figure out how to incorporate gig workers into their retirement systems. A bigger problem in the U.S. is that most Americans don't have anywhere near enough saved if they have private retirement accounts at all. Vanguard and the Census Bureau report that median account balances in IRAs and 401ks is just around $30,000. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The extent of remote work has been sliding, according to census data. As of early October, just shy of 26% of U.S. households had someone working remote at least some of the week. For reference, the peak, according to Bloomberg, was 37% back in 2021.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There are several arenas in the workplace where racism can be perpetuated, unwittingly or not. Recruiting and hiring, for example. And despite a heightened focus on racial inequality in the workplace over the past several years,
progress has been, at best, mixed. So, what steps can organizations, colleagues, managers take to help create more racially inclusive workplaces? Adia Harvey Wingfield is a professor of sociology at Washington University in St. Louis. Her new book, out today, is called Gray Areas: How the Way We Work Perpetuates Racism and What We Can Do to Fix It. My Marketplace colleague David Brancaccio spoke with Professor Wingfield about what it takes to create more inclusive places of work.
It's your view that there are a lot of systems at play in the workplace that are not formal, but they are powerful and often problematic. You call them gray areas. What are some?
Yes, exactly. So when I talk about the gray areas at work, I'm talking about the things that are a little bit separate from the core aspects of the job that people are hired to do, and more about the social, cultural, and relational parts of work.
Like just how you find out about work or how you advance may not have to do with everybody gets a performance review twice a year, may have a lot to do with some of these informal processes.
Sure, exactly. So, for example, you mentioned hiring. If we think about how people find out about jobs, we have this model, I think, that you apply and the best person for a job is chosen. But we also know from research that people are much more likely to get jobs if they are referred by someone, and that most people find jobs through those who are in their social networks or their existing connections. But we also know that connections and networks are highly racialized in the extent that they're pretty racially homogenous. So already Black workers are starting out at a bit of a disadvantage when they have to rely on their connections and networks, which may not be very racially diverse, in order to get access to jobs in the first place.
When people endure racism at work from individuals or systems, this doesn't just hit a person's work life or their career. It hits a person beyond where they work.
Yeah, one of the narratives that I found really affecting and moving in doing the research for this book is from a person that I call Amalia in the book. And Amalia is a journalist. And her experience is interesting because she worked in an environment where the culture was one where they at least would acknowledge and talk about the reality of racial disparities and discrimination. And even that is pretty unusual. Many companies take the opposite tack and suggest that that's something that shouldn't be addressed to the detriment of many Black workers. But for Amalia, being in this space where colleagues would at least acknowledge this reality, but did not necessarily address or acknowledge or seem aware of the particular toll that getting racist hate mail took on her as a Black woman, it really had some mental health consequences for her. And it was really personally affecting for me to listen to and write about how that had such an impact on the way that she lived her life, just as someone trying to do her job and do her best work.
I mean, you write that you've gotten racist emails, really hateful stuff from trolls. Yet, in some cases, you didn't go to your colleagues to draw them into this. You just said you didn't have the energy to walk them through what their reactions were.
Yeah, and I was a little uncertain about including that in the book initially, but as I thought about it more, it seemed to really tie to what a lot of my respondents were talking about. So for me, when those types of things have happened, especially when I started here at WashU, I was in a new job with new coworkers, and I thought, this is just not really the start that I want to get off to. I don't want to have these conversations. I don't really know my coworkers. I'm not 100% sure of the nuances of the response that I'm going to get. And quite frankly, I don't really feel like doing the emotional management of trying to sympathize with them. But I think for many Black workers, having to deal with that in isolation speaks to the way that organizational culture, another area that I write about in the book, just really often is not structured in a way that reflects the reality of the diverse workplaces that many organizations say that they want to create and achieve.
Adia Harvey Wingfield is a professor at Washington University in St. Louis. Her newest book is called Gray Areas: How the Way We Work Perpetuates Racism and What We Can Do to Fix It. She's also the president-elect of the American Sociological Association. Professor, thanks for this.
Thank you. This was so fun.
That was Marketplace's David Brancaccio there. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.